We listen to you guys like
all the time.
All day, every day.
Every day.
I love your station.
This is UK Talk Radio with the music you love and the chat you enjoy.
I love your station.
UK Talk Radio.
Hello, you're listening to Lorna on UK Talk Radio, and today I'm joined with an incredibly talented man. It's Dr. B.
Dr. B, thank you so much for joining us today on UK Talk Radio. How are you today?
I'm doing great, thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. It's our pleasure. So we're here, of course, to talk about, well, your career as a musician and your new song. When did you release it, Dreamy of You?
It came out, I'm having a hard time remembering. I have about 50 or 52 singles, so you'll have to forgive me. I think this came out, yeah, I put out a lot. I think this one came out the end of last year. So it's only been out for maybe 4 months, I think.
So, yeah, so you just mentioned you've done a lot of music. So when did you start recording then? When did it all start?
Well, I started out back in the early 2000s, like at a much younger age. And I worked with a lot of big name people. I used to live in New York, so I worked with Swizz Beatz. I worked with Just Blaze from Rockefeller. I worked with Elephant Man, Tony Touch, Evil D, the Beatminders, Duck Down, like a lot of New York people. And I had a great experience, but the truth is, I realized that it really wasn't for me, the music business. I mean, when you really get into it, all the partying and the drinking and the drugs. And did you know they have parties at 1 o'clock in the afternoon?
That would be more suitable actually for me, because I like to get to bed about 8 o'clock.
You know what? There's a lot of people that liked it, but when I was down there, people were calling me like, hey, you got to go to these parties and this and that. And I'm like, okay, like, you know, come pick me up at 9 or 10. They're like, no, man, it's like in 20 minutes. It's at like 12:30 in the afternoon. So it just got to me like that, the idea of that, of the constant partying, the constant drinking, and the crazy lifestyle. Like, it just wasn't for me. So I left the music business and I didn't do it for about maybe 15 years. And I started releasing music again back in 2019. And I love doing it now, because what makes it different is you can kind of play by your own rules, right? You could do whatever you want to do. Back then I had a distribution deal with Ryko Distribution, which is owned by Warner Brothers. So I had a lot of, pressure. My lawyer at the time was the same lawyer as Eminem. His name's Randy Cutler.
No way.
It was super weird going into his office, because you would see all these famous celebrities just sitting around, like looking at magazines. I can't tell you the amount of times I saw Wu-Tang Clan just like hanging out.
Whoa, that's crazy.
Yeah, it was nuts. It was nuts. There's a few times I ran into Timberland, not too far away in the Trump Towers, in the when the Trump Towers wasn't that bad to be
in. Oh my goodness.
Back then. Yeah, it was crazy. And then I just felt like, you know, it really wasn't for me. But doing things now, I don't have all the pressures from record labels and distribution, that I don't have artists harassing me for, you know, ridiculous things. And it just put a bad taste in my mouth. But now I'm focusing on myself. I'm focusing on music that I like to do, folk music that I want to make. You know, back in the early 2000s, I really wanted to make house music and techno. And I just couldn't, because that's not the world I was in. I was in like a hip hop reggae environment, and that's the music that was expected of my label, and the distribution wanted that type of music. So you can imagine, like, you know, for someone like me, I wasn't really that happy as an artist, right? And I also couldn't really create. My job was really to be more of like, you know, the CEO and run the company. So now I get to be the artist. I get to work with whoever I want. I get to do whatever I want, and I'm really happy. Yeah. So I'm able to write songs the way I want to write them. And I like to do a lot of breakup songs, love songs, really emotional songs, like songs that really kind of pull on your heartstrings. I love doing those type of tracks. And I love telling stories in that type of way. So yeah, that's kind of like how Dreaming of You kind of came about. I really wanted to do like a love song, but kind of like a heartbreak song. But I mean, for me, the song's really about finding that special someone, like your soulmate, but kind of realizing it may be a little too late, right? Like, you kind of, I think we've all kind of maybe experienced that, maybe not all of us, but maybe some of us have experienced that person was kind of special and I kind of screwed that up. You know what I mean? Or maybe we could have given it a better shot. Maybe we just didn't do it right. So anyways, that's what that kind of song means a lot to me. But I've spoken to a lot of my fans and listeners, and a lot of people have told me that the song means something completely different to them. You know,
it's very relatable to a lot of people, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And that's what I love about it. I love the fact that it's kind of interpreted in different ways and people kind of relate to it in different ways. I've had like a lot of female women who just told me, I'm going through a hard time. And this kind of, you know, was kind of like a song that I was crying to.
Oh, and I was like, so good.
In a way I was like, oh, that's awesome. And then I felt like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Yeah. You know what I mean?
But like, thanks for the compliment.
Like I really didn't mean it for it to be like that, but I'm glad that they found some form of comfort in the song in that way. So yeah, so I'm excited about it. I'm glad it's working out. I remember the first time I played it for my wife, she cried.
You made your wife cry.
she doesn't cry very often, but she's cried, I think, 2 times at my songs. And one of them isn't released yet. It's an acoustic song. Yeah, that one's like pretty emotional. And it's going to be on my debut album, Dragonfire. It's actually the last song on the album. But that song and Dreaming of You, yeah, she kind of like got teared up a little bit. She's like, oh, Jonathan.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah, so. Yeah, she kind of.
Say, oh, DJB then. When she calls you by your name, that means you're serious.
No, she calls me Jay. She calls me Jay. She's actually the only one that calls me that.
Oh, that's so sweet. So where do you do all your recording then? Have you got your own studio?
Yeah, I have my own studio. I've done, I used to like recording a lot downtown in Toronto, but I set up my own studio in my house. And it's pretty great. I have like drum sets, 2 guitars. I recently bought a violin. So I'm going to start learning the violin.
I did that too. Yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
You play the violin?
Not yet. I'm going to. It's my mission. Yeah, I've got myself a little violin. So yeah, I started in the basic notes. So that is my mission to do it.
We'll have to stay in touch and motivate each other.
Definitely. So.
But I haven't started yet, but I don't want to master it, but I do want to know enough to understand the instrument from a violinist point of view. Because a lot of the music that I'm making right now, I make a lot of opera music, chamber music, classical music as well. And as the producer who's kind of bringing all these musicians together, I really like to kind of see the music from their point of view.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like I'm mostly a percussionist myself. So I'm always like the first time I hear something, I really kind of draw towards not just the tempo, but the drums and the bass and the lows to the song. But I also, over time, I've appreciated like the piano part and then, you know, those little subtle parts where we use for our vocals with the ad libs and so on and so forth. So in a way, I'm kind of evolving and kind of transforming into something, I don't know what, but I never thought I would buy a violin like 15 years ago. But now my goal is to master 5 instruments and I'm working on that while I go to school. And
let's mention your school, because you mentioned before you're actually studying right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm at York University in Toronto, Canada, and I'm studying forensic psychology. So I'm in school to be a doctor, to be a forensic psychologist. And what can I say about that? I love looking at crime scene photos, and I love kind of wondering and talking to individuals and kind of figuring out why they do what they do, but not just the regular individual. I'm talking about like the worst of the worst.
Yeah.
I actually enjoy that. Like, I'm fascinated by the idea that someone could have a family, maybe a couple of kids, take them to school, kiss his or her wife goodbye, or partner, whatever, and then go down the basement and plan a terrorist attack.
Or just something terrible.
Do you know what I mean? Like, if you kind of try to wrap your head around that, like that doesn't make any sense, right? And then you, at 4 o'clock, you stop and go pick up your kids and then maybe get a coffee. And then, yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that's that form of normalizing insanity. I'm fascinated by it. My wife is a clinical director and a psychotherapist, a registered psychotherapist. She owns about 15, 20 mental health clinics throughout Toronto. But what she does is completely different, right? She loves anxiety, depression, and she's a wonderful relationship therapist. But for me, that drives me crazy. Like, I really don't care about your anxiety. Like, do you know what I mean?
I want to know about the burdens.
I'm not interested about your mood today.
Simple problems. I studied psychology as well. It's funny because I started doing a degree at the Open Uni years ago, but all my kids were so young. So I did like 5 years and then I had to stop. But yeah, really fascinating subject though. Yeah, when I had my fifth child, I just had no time.
Oh my God, 5 kids. Oh yeah. My heavens. What's that like?
Yeah, it's good fun. It's a lot of washing.
I can imagine.
You're getting older now. Yeah, have you got two? Your kids must be so super intelligent with your musical side and your psychology and your psychotherapy.
As a parent, you know this. Like, one day you're talking to your kids about Elmo or whatever. And then one day you wake up and they're these little adults and they're having these full-blown intelligent conversations. You're like, wait a second, when did this happen?
Yeah.
You know, so my kids now are 16 and 13 and they're like little mini adults and they're very opinionated, if you will say. They're not shy to vocalize what they think, which they shouldn't, as long as they do it in a polite and the appropriate way.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the most important. But their mom is like that. Their mom really doesn't take any crap. And they kind of inherited that from their mom. So I have to be careful what I say around the house because the three of them, it's just, I'm on my own.
Oh, they sound lovely. Your wife sounds lovely too.
Oh no, she's great. She's great. I love her and respect her so much because every day she gets up and she just saves lives. You know, she just helps so many people. And it's one of the reasons why I want to be a psychologist because I look up to her so much and I learn from her so much. And I want to help a lot of people too.
Good on you. And your amazing music as well. I mean, music's therapy as well, isn't it?
For sure.
You mentioned an album. So when is this going to be released? Is it available now? Obviously you're working on one at the moment, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm working on right now. It's called Dragonfire. I didn't want to make an album and release an album for the sake of releasing an album, right? I mean, everybody's got an album or multiple albums, and they're all in the concept of music and an album, they're all pretty much the same, right? Mm-hmm. They're all songs and they have interludes and that's it. I didn't want to do that. I was really waiting to come up with a really cool and something interesting. Look, for example, 15, maybe 18 years ago, I heard about Dr. Dre. He was contemplating on putting out an album called Detox. And apparently the rumor was at the time that Denzel Washington was going to narrate this album. I thought that was the coolest thing in the world. You're going to have him narrate, and he was coming up with this really cool story. So I thought the concept of that, I never really got that out of my head, right? At the concept of like kind of listening to this audio movie in your headphones, and you could close your eyes and just visualize what's going on is something that I just wanted to do. There's something to that effect. So during maybe a year ago, maybe a little bit more than that, during the pandemic, I was working on a show called Dragonfire. And the story is really about, it takes place in the 14th century. And in most of my songs, my character, which is called the Doctor, it's mostly about his experiences throughout history, but from a musical point of view, right? So, and you get a lot of that in my music. But with this story, it takes place in the 14th century. And a lot of the music is inspired by the TV show Game of Thrones or Lord of the Rings. So mm-hmm. it's that type of genre. But this story really is about, there's like 10 different houses and you also have the dragons. Now the dragons are like, it's like a race of people. They're not like just dragons flying around. They're actually like people like you and me, but they're dragon blood. The story is really about them and the mother of dragons and the relationship between the doctor and the mother of dragons and what happens to her after her 209th birthday. It's also heavily influenced by Greek mythology. There's Zeus and Ares is involved and Hera. And my family's half Greek, so I even speak a little Greek. So I really wanted to kind of incorporate that into the story.
Yeah.
But I wanted to do kind of like a visual album. So what I've been doing over the past about 15 months is drawing out these storyboards that with specific scenes. It's mostly about the music, but what I wanted to do was provide some visuals to kind of enhance the story. So as you're listening to the music, whether it's opera or there's even a little bit of hip hop on the album, the visuals along with special effects really kind of push the story forward and you kind of get like a completely different experience. I finished all the music. There's about 20 songs on the album. And I've hired voice actors to play Zeus and Ares so that when you're listening to it, you really feel and hear Zeus when he's talking. You're like, holy crap. All the special effects that you hear, like the lightning, explosions, like I'm doing all that myself.
That's so cool.
I love it. To me, it's like the best part. Like when the story's already written and when you put it all together, but to spend a lot of time just adding the effects and tweaking them. Like I even made my own dragon sound for the album. I took a bunch of different animals and special effects and I made an original dragon sound, right? I mean, it was really fun. It took maybe 4 or 5 hours for me to do that.
Wow.
But to say that this is mine, this is not a sample, this isn't something I downloaded, like I created this, you know, I thought it was really cool. So anyways, the album will be finished. It'll be out early next year. Fantastic. And I'm hoping when we go on tour, I'm hoping to have about maybe it's designed to have about maybe 8 to 10 chamber music orchestra. So as we're performing the album, performing the music, you'll see massive screens in the background and you'll be able to see like the story and what we're talking about. And then you also hear like the narration and you hear the voice actors talking. So it's meant to be like all like this very live, big performance. You know, and it's meant to be something different, right? I just feel like after COVID, there are some people that just want to do the same old thing and that's fine. And, but there, I think there are some other people that are looking for something new, something creative, something unusual, something I've never seen before. So anyways, I'm hoping to present that to the world and I hope it's met with positivity and not people vomiting all over their transcripts.
I want to see it. It sounds amazing.
So I'm keeping everybody posted. I mean, I'm getting some really good positive feedback on social media, mostly on Twitter. Stuff like this seems to work really for me, especially. It seems to be working really well on Twitter. So a lot of people seem to like the visuals and the story behind it and the special effects. So yeah, you guys could check me out on Twitter if you want to.
That'd be amazing. So how can people find you then on social media?
Yeah, on Twitter, it's I am DRB, the number 6. So literally IAMDRB, the number 6.
Mm-hmm.
On Instagram, it's I am Dr. B, but there's underscore in between. So it's I underscore AM underscore DRB period underscore B. And yeah, that's pretty much it.
That is so cool. Thank you so much for talking to me. That's amazing. And I can't wait to see what you do. And yeah, let's keep in touch with our violin stuff.
Oh, please, please. Yes, yes. You'll have to send me a video of some of your Mozart that you're playing. We'll see if we can play Mozart together. Yeah.
Oh, that'd be amazing. We could do a little duet, couldn't we? We could get together and get a duet. Okay, let me practice a bit first. Thank you so much for talking to me. You take care.
Have a great day.
That was Dr. B talking to us on UK Talk Radio.
Cheers. The new music.
This is UK Talk Radio.
Radio.
With the music you love and the chat you enjoy.
Music. The new music.